Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I feel angry.
Why?
I don't know. I can't find any handy wipes out of this box. I don't want to talk into the mic that Crowley just talked into. He's accidentally given me all kinds of diseases via this mic before.
So you're calling Crowley disgusting?
No.
You're calling Crowley unclean?
No, just disease-ridden. And the other thing happening here, there's a bunch of things happening that make me angry. I stayed up to watch the Warriors last night, and the Nuggets played without Jokic and Murray, without them. And the Warriors lost. And because I stayed up late, that means I'm cranky. Somebody just handed me these. Oh, it was Andrew Lindbergh. What a wonderful man.
Incredible.
And they lose. How do you lose that game? They started 2-for-10 from the foul line. I'd like to know how many NBA teams this season and in NBA history. I would like to know in NBA history, how many teams have started a game 2-for-10 from the foul line? Do you think there's been many limits?
Well, you know, when you underestimate your opponent because some of the best players are out, sometimes that happens and they get you.
Yeah, unfortunately, that never happens with the Warriors. When their best player sits, or best players at the same time, they lose by 80.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. 2-for-10 and you're in the NBA? No, that's like a college team in a conference tournament or March Madness that gets really worried. Yes. Or whippy old teams that go to the final and can't hit their free throws.
Yeah, do they go 2-for-10? I don't even think high school teams do that at the beginning of a game. And then there's the state of Pittsburgh sports. I want to come in and be happy. I want to talk about the Penguins being a playoff team. And I know they have this little winning streak, whatever. You know, they're not making the playoffs. I want to talk about the Pirates building around Skeens. And you heard the lineup that our friend, the Noah Constrictor, gave us yesterday. Well, what are we doing here? Well, Tommy Pham, he thinks, is going to lead off the opener. He's 37. He hit .248 with three teams last year with no power, 106 strikeouts and less than 500 bats and a .305 on base percentage. That would have ranked ninth on the Pirates last year. Ninth on base percentage. That below even Connor Joe, who I don't think reached first base after May.
Yes, three or four extra base hits, I think it was.
That's your leadoff hitter? And Kutch is going to be your cleanup hitter, according to the Noah Constrictor. DJ Stewart is your first baseman. He's 27 and he hit .177 for the Mets last year. Yes, I'm angry. Or maybe it's, you know, anger often covers up feelings underneath limits. Sometimes we can be melancholy. Sometimes we can be resentful, whatever it might be, and it comes out as anger.
Melancholy, great word.
Wonderful word. I want to come on here and talk about big games and happy things. I want Pitt to be in the NCAA tournament. They're nowhere near it. And their coach keeps talking about NIL and money. Figure it out. Win with the guys you have in the ACC. Nobody else is paying for players either, except Louisville, maybe Duke.
And they just hired two new guys to the athletic department yesterday. Alan Green, with one, I know specifically,
I don't care.
At least in the press release, to get money. Find the money.
I don't care. I think O'Neal Cruz is still the best shortstop on this team.
Even though he's not playing shortstop anymore?
Yeah. I think Brian Reynolds is still the best left fielder on this team, even though he doesn't play left field. Kiner Falefa is probably the best all-around third baseman, even though he plays shortstop. This is a disaster. I mean, it really is. I want to be happy, believe it or not. It feels like it just struck me last night. When do we talk about like great stuff, fun stuff, big games anymore around here?
Happy things.
What do you want me to do? What do you out there want me to do? And plus, Pomp isn't here. That doesn't make me angry. It makes me sad.
I threw out some ideas to you this morning, and you said, they all suck.
Yeah, they all suck.
Yeah.
your ideas, you did it in a hurry. I was desperate for ideas, and your best ideas were Steelers defensive line and secondary, how to address it. I don't give a crap.
Thank you.
That's not really directed
to no, I know that.
You know what I mean? March Madness was your other idea. There's nobody in it except Robert Morris, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And, you know, maybe we'll get Mike Arruzzioni on. I have his phone number.
Ooh.
What if we had Mike Arruzzioni give sort of what would he tell the Robert Morris basketball team in a speech? Maybe he could recreate the Herb Brooks speech, Oh Limitless Wonder.
I would love to hear it.
And then your last item was Skeens pitched yesterday. Call me crazy, but I don't know that that's scintillating sports talk. Skeens pitched yesterday.
Well, I did not get a chance to further elaborate on my thoughts, but talking about Skeens, what I wanted to do is something that you brought up earlier, basically. Discuss how Skeens is so much of the backbone of this team and compare that to everything else that they have on the team now. And what does that project to be? Like, if Paul Skeens does this, how many wins do they have? If Paul Skeens does this, how many games do they win? And so on and so forth. That was my idea.
It was a horrible idea. But it wasn't any worse than mine. Except then I started thinking, and then I started reading a little bit. And here's where I want to start today. Here's where I want to start. I don't even know if it's anger or simply I'm just baffled. I'm baffled by the continuous, I don't know if the right word is worship, but the delusion surrounding the Steelers nationally in the form of, and sometimes it's just very benign things, like Ian Rapoport tweeting out that Juan Thornhill now gets a chance to join one of the NFL's best defenses in the Steelers. Did you see when I tweeted you that, Limits?
Oh, yeah.
Or texted you that? What's he looking at? NFL defenses are ranked on yards allowed, and the last I checked, the Steelers were like 20th in yards allowed last season. Am I right about that, Limits?
Maybe he's going by how much they're paid as the highest paid defense in the
league.
Well,
that's a very different story. They're below the Dolphins and Texans and Saints and Cowboys last year. It's not one of the NFL's best defenses. Scoring-wise, they were top 10 in points allowed. Let's see here. Scoring-wise, they were like 9th, I think. 8th. Okay, they were okay. They allowed 20 points a game. Then they got to a playoff game and got absolutely ransacked again. And some of the guys who have been on that defense for a long time were part of a defense that set an NFL record with most consecutive playoff games allowing 40 points. I think that was between 17 and 20 or something like that. Maybe 21. And the last two times they've taken the field in a playoff game, they've gotten ransacked again, to the point where Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson could have put up 80 if they wanted. Okay? So Ian Rapoport and everybody else, it's not one of the NFL's best defenses. It's just not. They pay them a lot of money and they underachieve. It's really time for somebody each day to address the latest person who is pushing a Steeler-related myth nationally. They're in it every year. Well, no, they're not really. I mean, they're in the playoff hunt. And they're usually, although not always, let's take this 8-year playoff winless drought where they haven't even been competitive in a single playoff game and going on a decade. And they've missed the playoffs 3 times in 8 years, which is almost 40% of the time. And then when they do get in, they scrape in, they're a double-digit underdog, and they're immediately dispatched without anybody ever having seriously considered them a Super Bowl contender. So they're not really a contender. They're not really in it. They're one of those teams that is on the edge, on the bubble, so to speak, every year. And then, I guess, good for them that they're one of the 44% of the teams, which is a lot, that does get in usually. And they barely get in and they're summarily dispatched in embarrassing fashion. So please stop talking about the Steelers as a perennial contender. They're contending for nothing other than a fringe playoff spot and an immediate departure is what they contend for. That's it. And then the myth that's constantly pushed about how players are falling over themselves in the NFL to play for Mike Tomlin. Like, this is just, this is, you know, the dream of all NFL players is to come to Pittsburgh and play for Tomlin. Well, why isn't Justin Fields here? Anybody? Okay, that's what I thought. Why isn't Justin Fields here? Kyle Juszczyk came from the Niners. Fullback, which they could use since they pretend to be a running offense, and was reportedly offered more money here and went back there. Brandon Ayuk had every chance to come here and went back there. And then I just consider the recent and fairly long-term history of Tomlin, and man, if this is a guy that people are dying to play for, a lot of his players sure do quit on him, don't they? Kenny Pickett begged out of town. Chukwuma Okorafor basically quit. Deontay Johnson quit. Martavis Bryant quit. Melvin Ingram literally quit and faked an injury to get out of town. Antonio Brown quit. Just didn't show up anymore. James Harrison, an iconic Steeler, quit on Tomlin in his last year here because he thought Tomlin lied to him. Am I missing it? Oh, yeah, LeGarrette Blount quit in the middle of a game. Am I missing anybody else? Anybody? Raise your hand out there. The last time I saw this many people quit limits, I was at an AA meeting. My God, for a guy that everybody wants to play for, how come so many people quit on him?
Man, it's a great question. And what's funny about...
And Aaron Rodgers, I'm sorry, should be dying to come here, right? Him and Tomlin have a bromance out there. Tomlin wants him to come here. Where is he?
Funny is probably not the right word, but it's ironic. It's very ironic that that's the case, and yet there's just Darius Slay. I want to play for Mike Tomlin. I've really wanted to come play here my whole career.
It just took me 17 years, but here I am.
Uh-huh, and I get $10 million to be able to do it. Maybe that was the ultimate selling card. Like, it seems like the dialect with Tomlin is just so different depending on whether it's players, media, everything, where it's hard to see the clear picture of the reality for some people of still what is going on here. I feel like a lot of people's eyes have opened up locally, but for some of this, like with the players and the great stuff that you mentioned on the players that have quit on them, but even the ones that want to come in, like for me, it just kind of gets overwhelming.
I mean, Chukwuma Okorafor quit here. That's what Tomlin thought, if you remember the story as it went. And the rest of the list, and I'm probably forgetting some, okay, so that's really not how the facts have played out here. That's really not the story that the entire NFL, you know, Players Association is dying to come to Pittsburgh. I mean, I hate to say all this, but the Steelers just seem so steeped in delusion these days. They really do. And people just want to peddle these myths about them. Left and right, locally and nationally. Probably less so these days, but it really is locally and nationally. What we have here, what we actually have here, is a team that's going on a decade without being competitive in a single playoff game. A team that no quarterback that we can see really wants to play for them outside of Mason Rudolph, who they rejected. That's the guy who's here. Well, him and Skylar Thompson, anyway. What happened with Justin Fields? What happened? Where is he? He was plan A, reportedly. And depending on what and who you believe, they screwed it up. If he was plan A, I'd hate to see how they treated plan B. Aditi Kinkabwala reported that the Steelers didn't offer any guaranteed money beyond year one to Fields. No guaranteed money beyond year one. Jeremy Fowler reported that the Steelers were very competitive with the Jets on their offer. They were, quote, all in. Well, which is true. If you're all in, you're offering guaranteed money beyond 1 year. You're probably also offering at least pole position going into camp, right? But as Fowler said, it seems like the Jets, you know, showed a little more love to Fields, probably in a variety of ways than the Steelers did. So did they really want him or not? What do they want? Look at him, just floundering right now. And I guess that's sort of the moral of my story here is the Steelers in this state going into next season again are zero Super Bowl threat. They have a zero, it seems to me, a zero chance. Nobody takes them seriously. People probably have them 20 to 25 on power rankings and things like that. And I can see it all happening now. There was a website the other day, I forget which one it was, that had the Steelers 25th on their power rankings. So we'll probably go in to another season where the Steelers, their over-under might be lower next year. I can see a scenario where the over-under is 7.5 wins and they rank about, you know, an average of 23rd on everybody's power rankings. And then Mike Tomlin gets them to 9-8 and 16th in the league, and he gets Coach of the Year votes again. This guy got Coach of the Year votes this year from people. Go look at the voting. People like Michael Silver gave him a vote. Top five. You got to be in the top five to get a vote. He got votes. You talk about a national delusion regarding the Steelers. Are these people out of their minds? Did they not know that their votes would be publicly revealed this year? And I think they were for the first time, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it's a function, partially at least, of the Steelers perennially overcoming, barely overcoming, low expectations. That's where we are. They barely exceed their chronically low, self-imposed, really, or self-created low expectations, and everybody lauds the head coach. My God, look at those Steelers. We thought they'd win 8. They won 10. They went 10-8. What a great job he did. Nobody ever asks, why are the expectations so low every year? Why do people now, 4 years, 5 years removed from Ben, still pick the Steelers to win 7.5 games over under? The question should be, what is wrong with the Steelers? Not, wow, every year Tomlin does this. Well, yeah, but it was Tomlin who missed on the quarterback, plural. It was Tomlin who missed on the coordinator, plural. It's Tomlin who has more power than maybe any NFL coach on the draft and personnel. Why are the expectations so low again next year? Why does the highest paid defense in the league, which is his defense, he's the de facto coordinator and the guy who created the defensive roster, why do they stink all the time in big games? Nobody ever asked that. It's just, oh man, the Steelers overcame their low expectations again. Wow, it's impressive. Think about the rationale and the mental gymnastics you'd have to go through based on last season to give Mike Tomlin one of your top five Coach of the Year votes like Michael Silver did. You would have to say that this team that had an epic and historic collapse late in the year and blew the division and lost four in a row. I realize it's a regular season award, so you can't include the Ravens game in which Tomlin's defense quit on him. You can't include that one. But even so, you can include the last four games when the offense failed to top 17 points. They made it 5 in the playoffs, becoming the first Steelers team since 1969 when they were 1-13 to go 5 straight games without topping 17 points. You would have to say to yourself, the 10-7 Steelers and their head coach did a better job than the team that won the division, the Ravens, who came back and won it after a rough start. did a better job than Andy Reid, who went 15-2, did a better job than Jim Harbaugh, the other Harbaugh, who took a Chargers team that won, what, five games the year before, and they went 11-6, did a better job than Sean Payton, who had a rookie quarterback and started 0-2 and finished the year 10-4 and rolled into the playoffs? Did a better job than McDermott at 13-4? Did a better job than Sirianni at 14-3? Did a better job than Dan Quinn at 12-5? Took a Commanders team with a rookie quarterback that stunk the previous year and had a really good season? Did a better job than Dan Campbell and Kevin O'Connell and Matt LaFleur, who went 11-6? Did a better job than Sean McVay? Like, what are we looking at? Why are we so spellbound nationally by what the Steelers do when they're really doing almost nothing? What is happening? I don't understand it. I really don't. Ian Rappaport, I'm trying to be him yesterday. Here I am at my computer. And I'll try to recreate his tweet and feel like what he felt like. Here we go. Juan Thornhill signs with one of the NFL's best defenses in the Steelers. What is this, John Facenda in the 1970s? It's not one of the NFL's best defenses. Did you watch the playoff game? When the Ravens ran for 300 yards? It's time to smash these delusions. It really is. And it begins in-house, probably. I don't think that's ever going to happen. The Steelers think they're doing okay. Aunt Rooney told Ashley Liotis, hey, it's not like we haven't won some games around here. Art, it's been nearly a decade, and your team hasn't been competitive in a single playoff game. In nearly a decade. You're currently at the DMV waiting for a ticket from Aaron Rodgers. You're sitting around for days at a time, drinking vending machine coffee and stale donuts with the freaking New York Giants to your left and the Minnesota Vikings two rows ahead of you. They have the ticket ahead of you, waiting to see if a 42-year-old quarterback who finished 30th in the NFL in completion percentage, even though he's now a dink and dunk guy, is going to pull your ticket. When does the pretending end with this team? I don't get it. Nationally, locally, and in-house, who's going to smash the delusion around here? 412-928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have so many treats limits. I've lost track of them. Brooke Pryor is going to join us to talk Steelers at 12:30. Brian Bacco at noon. And Destiny's Child, who has an announcement to make at 11 o'clock. A rather sad one, I might add. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And then we see these various stories on what's happening inside that locker room with the Steelers. Marlon Humphrey, who knows people on this team, as you know, intimated that after the playoff game. I saw Willie Colon intimated that yesterday from things he was gathering, I think, when he visited the Super Bowl this year. It seems to be there are some issues in there. It seems, if you listen to Kirk Herbstreit or watch the playoff game, that the Steelers gave less than their best effort in that game. I don't think I'm crazy for saying that. It was obvious there were massive communication issues on what was largely a veteran defense. Like, what are we doing here? This is not a well-run operation. By any reasonable standard, it certainly wasn't this past season. The season crumbled right in front of our faces and became obvious.